Glory to God. Thankful for that star. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to hear it. Dr. Britt's going to preach tonight. And looking forward to that. I will be praying this afternoon as well. So make sure you come back this evening. And I'll just have to preach until this evening to make sure that you're here. All right. Matthew chapter number 2. As we're looking in the Word of God, it's going to have Lisa and her mother sing. And, of course, that song for this season. Matthew chapter 2, and I said it last week, but I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I wish we could have Christmas every day, Christmas and Easter, just kind of alternated there. And I love this time of year, but I love all the fun parts, all the festivals, everything. But we have to understand that Christmas is about Christ. It's not about Santa squeezing down a chimney somewhere, although that's some sort of amazing thing to think about. It's not about Jack Frost sending out a storm, although he didn't do very well for us yesterday. I want to know where this snow was that Brother Ryan saw. I saw snow on Facebook. There are folks in Florida that saw snow and folks down in Texas, so we didn't get snow here. But Christmas is not about Jack Frost or even snow, although I love snow. I'm praying for some this year if we can get some. It's not about Scrooge becoming generous with his employees or the Grinch really getting into Christmas. It's not about the Nutcracker coming to life. Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason for the season. He's why we celebrate. When we open the book of Matthew, we see the Lord Jesus Christ presented as King. We open this book, we see no major account about Mary. We don't even see the shepherds. It's not until Luke that we really see that picture. We discover the legal line of and leading of Joseph, followed by the appearance and the account of the wise men. If you just open your Bibles for the first time in the book of Matthew, you would see a bunch of names, then Joseph, and then you would hear about these wise men. And so we're following the story of the first Christmas from the Gospel of Matthew, and we arrive at the wise men. If you found your place, let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 2, and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." I want to draw your attention back to verse number 2. And you notice the question, saying, where is he? The tense in the word saying tells us this question was not just questioned once, it was repeated over and again. They went everywhere wondering, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? I want to preach for just a while on the subject, wise men still seek him. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We wonder about the wise men this morning. Who are the wise men and why are they important? There's a lot of tradition about the wise men. There's even some confusion. I heard in the state of Tennessee that there was a public nativity scene and everything seemed normal until you looked at the wise men and they were wearing firemen's helmets. And people began to wonder, why are these wise men wearing firemen's helmets? Until one of the wise men just said, well, read your Bible. It says we came from afar. Now, we're not going to go that far this morning. They were from the hills of Tennessee and they were just volunteers. We had to give them some slack there. But the word in verse number 1 tells us very clearly, about four of y'all got that, tells us very clearly about these wise men. The word in the original here is magi. These were the Medes of the Medo-Persian Empire. They were scientists. They were astronomers, not astrologers. It said here the magi, it said in history, the magi were so powerful that no Persian could ever become king until he accomplished one or two tasks. Number one, he would have to master the scientific and religious discipline, the magi, or two, be approved of and crowned by the wise men. I'm here to inform you this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ not only mastered the discipline, he was received by master in devotion by these wise men. Exegetically, Matthew is making a point here. Here's the legal line of the Lord. You can go to any temple, any synagogue, and see that Jesus came from a royal line and lineage. He was both from Mary of David and of Joseph, adopted and declared a legal heir to the throne of David. And here he says in chapter number 2, you missed it. There had to be kings that came from afar that recognize and to worship this king. We think about the wise men and apply it to our lives. Of course, we could go on and think about many different things about the wise men. For instance, we don't know their exact number. We assume there's 3 because of the 3 gifts. There could have been 2. There could have been 102. We don't know. Due to the difficulty and danger of their travel and distance, there could have been a caravan of hundreds that entered into that city of Jerusalem. Did you see in verse number 3 that all Jerusalem was troubled at their coming? This could have been a large caravan entering into the city. We don't know exactly who they were. We don't know their names. Of course, you can go to Germany today and there's a cathedral where the earthly remains of what they say were the 3 wise men are laid to rest. They call these 3 Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. And some bishop said that he discovered their remains, and he saw in their skulls that there were eyes still in their sockets fixed towards Bethlehem. That sounds like a nightmare, not the story of Christmas. But you can go there. There are many that go and worship at this place, and there's a priceless casket, and you can pay to enter and go to this cathedral in Cologne, and there's a Hebrew word for that, baloney. I don't think that's correct at all. We don't know where they... No names, don't know their number. We don't know where they came from. Although we know the Bible says they came from the East. I read in USA Today that there was an article that they came from China, and they actually sourced the song that we sing. That's a great place to get theology. We 3 kings of Orient are, and they said the Orient was where they came from. They could have come from China. Although we know that they're east, and directly east of Jerusalem is Babylon, and guess who was at Babylon? The wisest of all wise men, Daniel, who knew about the star, who knew about the scepter, who knew about that stone disallowed a man that was cut out of the mountains that would cut down all the kingdoms of this earth, and that kingdom would rule and reign for eternity. We don't know what they came on. Now, we all assume what? Camels. They could have come on camels. They could have come on Arabian horses. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say there was camels. The Bible doesn't say there were horses. But we do know this about the wise men. We know they're wise because they went to worship Jesus. We know why they came to worship. We know where they came. It was not actually the manger. It was here at the house. It was the oikion, the word house here, not the manger. It was not a babe, brephos. They worshiped the young child, paedion, and they came to worship Jesus, and they were wise because they sought Jesus and they found Christ. I wonder this Christmas season, where are the wise men? Where are the wise women? Where are the wise boys and girls that will drop everything and follow Jesus and find Jesus? I wonder if there's someone this morning, this Christmas season, in the busyness of it all, still seeking Jesus. How do we seek Jesus? I believe there's 4 ways that we as wise men can seek Jesus. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, "Those that seek me early shall find me." Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Are you searching for Jesus? Look in the text this morning. We see, first of all, these wise men responding to the revelation of God. The first way to seek Jesus is to respond to the revelation of God. We notice in the text that they responded to the miracle of the star, but mostly they responded to the message of Scripture. Notice back to the star in verse number 2. They stand there in that city of Jerusalem and they say, "We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." There's been some study on the star. I've spent some time. There's a film out about the star. I remember as a kid going down to a planetarium and a whole demonstration on the star and how there was an actual star that appeared and through the constellations proved the Christ. And that may be the case. It could have been the Shekinah glory of God that appeared to the shepherds and then stayed there by the manger. But somehow we get this idea that the star appeared in the east and the wise men on their camels just kind of followed the star all the way to Bethlehem. In fact, we sing, "Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us with thy perfect light," but we didn't follow the star the entire way. They saw the star, then it disappeared. If you notice, they ended up in Jerusalem, not Bethlehem. If I had a GPS that was off by 8 miles, that would not be a good GPS. The star appeared and it disappeared, and so they went the direction the star appeared, and they went to Israel, and they knew the king would be born, and so they went to the capital. And by the way, Jerusalem is the capital and forever will be the capital of Israel. Praise God for a president who recognizes it. That's called common sense, folks. They went to the capital of Israel, and they showed up, and they went to find this king, but the star was no longer there. Look at verse number 10. And when they saw the star again, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were wise men because they followed the light that was given to them, and when it stopped shining, they still kept going. Notice, this star had stopped shining. I want to ask you this morning, what do you do when God directs you? What do you do when there seems to be no sign or next step? What do you do when things seem to be clear and you know God is leading, but when you get to a certain point where there's no more absolute clear direction, what do you do? Do you turn back or do you keep on going? I think about the characters in the Bible that kept on going. They were wise men. I think about Abram in Genesis chapter 12 when God called and God said, get thee out of thy father's country into a land that I'll show thee. And he beckoned, and over in Genesis chapter 15, he showed them all the stars of the sky, and he said that your descendants will be like those stars and the sand of the shore. And then as he followed God, all of a sudden the stars stopped shining. There was no sea, there was no sun, and for years, the star stopped shining, but Abraham kept going. I think of Joseph, who had a vision and had a dream. He was the favorite of his father, and he had this dream and many dreams that his brothers would bow before him, and there would be bushels of grain, and all of this would be provision. But then Joseph finds himself bound in bondage, sold as a slave. He does his best there, and he begins to step forward, but he's lied about, and he's bound yet again in prison. We could say the star stopped shining for Joseph, but he kept going. I think about David. Old Samuel comes and David is not even there when he looks for the anoint the next king, and David is called off the backside of the desert and Samuel anoints him king of Israel. And he steps forward and he slays Goliath. And he enters into that time period doing everything that he needs to do, but all of a sudden King Saul wants to kill him. And his own soldiers want to kill him. We could say the star stopped shining, but he kept going. Abraham, Joseph, David, these wise men were wise because they made it to the destination. They didn't stop. They kept going. Abraham made it to that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Joseph made it to be second in command of Egypt, and he saw the fulfillment of his vision, his dream, as his brothers bowed before him, and God would use Joseph to provide for the whole known world at that time. David was anointed and crowned king yet a second time over part of Judah, and yet a third time over the United Kingdom, and he was sat on the throne of an everlasting kingdom. And the wise men did not turn back when the star stopped shining. They kept going, and they made it to Bethlehem. What do we do when we don't see a sign or a star? We do the best we can according to the revelation and the leading that we have received, and we go to a more sure word of prophecy. It was not the miracle of the star that brought him there finally. It was the message of scriptures. Look at verse number 3. When Herod and the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. The star stopped shining, and they did as much as they could, when they could, where they could, and they arrived and they saw the scripture where he would be born. And it said, Micah 5 verse 2. They could have said, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would this king be born in such a lowly town? Why would someone be there? It has to be somewhere here in Jerusalem. No, they followed and obeyed the leading of the Lord from the word of God. Of course, Daniel 9:26 said when, Numbers 24, verse 17, what you heard in the scripture reading was a prophecy thousands, couple thousand years before Jesus was born, and it said there would be a star of Jacob, and that star would bring about a scepter in Israel. Hey, if you want to find Jesus this Christmas season, don't wait for the star, don't wait for the sign, open the Word of God and keep on walking. Steps are ordered by the Lord. And I believe this morning, if you've not come to Christ as Savior, I know the Bible declares that God gives light. Romans chapter 1 verse 29 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Just take a walk outside and see the stars. Just take a walk outside and see the sun. Just take a walk outside tonight and see the moon and see everything that God has created. And there's something down deep within you that says, there is a God. And then understand that there's the conscience that's within and how the Spirit convicts of sin. And you know today that you're a sinner in need of salvation. Respond to the light that God has given you. And the light will always lead you to the Word of God. And the Word of God is the more sure word of prophecy that shows the Son of God. Oh, they had so much here in the Word of God. They had so much that revealed this. In the wise men, we find them going and following the Lord and following the light that they have been given. Let me ask you this morning, have you seen the light? Have you followed the Lord? Have you gone to the Word of God? It's been estimated if you read the Bible at pulpit rate, now for me that would be a lot faster probably, but at pulpit rate you could read through the entire Bible in 70 hours and 30 minutes. That's only 12 minutes a day to read through the Bible in a year. I wonder, have you ever read through the Bible? I know there have been times we've been watched some Netflix shows longer than 12 minutes. What about the Word of God? Preacher, I'm looking for a sign. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. You don't seek after a sign, you seek after the Son. And there may be signs that lead you to Scripture, but it's the Word of God that's going to reveal the Son of God. You want to find Jesus this morning? Respond to the revelation of God. Number two, risk the opposition of men. There's always going to be two types of opposition in this world. Number one, animosity of those ruling, such as Herod, or antagonism. And number two, there's going to be apathy of those in religion. Let me put it this way. Antagonism or animosity of those ruling and apathy in those in religion. Notice first that this man called Herod. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was one of those guys, if he wasn't happy, nobody was happy. Notice, he was troubled and everybody else around him was troubled. Can I just take a time out and encourage you, don't be a Herod. Don't be somebody when you get around them, they're happy and all of a sudden because you're upset and you're troubled, you bring everybody down. You want to be somebody that lifts people up. Be around others and be an encouragement and be a strength. You know when you're being led of the Holy Spirit because He's a comforter. He's an encourager. And there may be conviction sometimes, but it's always to make us stronger in Christ. Herod was someone that just was down. He was someone that was just angry. And when he was troubled, everybody was troubled. Herod was made king over this region. He had no legal line. He was of the tribe of, or the people of Esau, the Edomites. He was seated there as king of Jerusalem. Here's a little bit about Herod. Herod was a man married 9 times and murdered all of his wives. He murdered many of his children. He murdered his in-laws. He murdered his brother-in-law. After he put him as high priest, he walked down to the temple and drowned him in the laver. A nice fellow. Herod wrote in his will, on his day of his death, a certain number of citizens were to be executed because he wanted people to cry on the day that he died. Very selfish, angry man. These wise men, consider it this morning, walked into the city of Jerusalem and asked the most politically incorrect question you could ask. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Herod wasn't born king of the Jews, and he knew it. When he heard of the star, perhaps he thought back to Numbers 24, when Balaam said, here's what's going to happen to the Edomites. Edom will be the possession. He didn't want this star. He didn't want this Savior. He was offended. I want you to consider it this morning. If you're really going to seek after Christ, you're going to bother some people. You're going to bother those ruling in this world. You see, it wasn't a baby in a manger that bothered Herod. It was the baby that would become king that bothered him. You see, the world doesn't mind a baby in a manger. Everybody celebrates Christmas, and sometimes we talk about, oh, put Christ in Christmas, and we have that baby, and we talk about him as a baby, but understand, Christ in Christmas is him crowned as king. You know, the world really doesn't care about Jesus on the cross as much. but it's the resurrection they have a problem with. It's the resurrection, the glorification of Jesus now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've got news for the world today and those ruling in classes of this world. He's not just the innocent baby in the manger. He's not just the Lamb of God on the cross. He's the resurrected Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And today He is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty. He's mightier than the mightier, greater than the great. He's Master. He's King. He's worthy, and if you really begin to seek Jesus and you have Him as Lord, you're going to bother the ruling class of this world. Hollywood hates Jesus. The political systems hate Jesus. Well, listen, friend, if you're really going to seek Him, you're going to bother some people. You're going to risk the opposition. Not just risking the opposition from those in the ruling class like Herod, but also those in religion, dead religion. Look at verse 7 again. Verse 8, these were scribes. These were those that were respected. They knew the Word of God. They studied it. Many of them had memorized Scripture from a child. They were chief priests. They were scribes that knew the Word of God inside and out. They knew where He would be born. They knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, how a virgin would conceive and bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. They knew all the prophecies of the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They even showed intellectual belief in the preservation of the Word of God. Do you notice what they said? They said, "It is written." They affirmed the preservation of the Word of God, that word gegreptai, it's the perfect passive participle, meaning this, it was written. It is written, it forever stands written. They had all the right words. They had all the right study. Perhaps they had gone to all the right Christian colleges and Bible colleges. They believed this, but their behavior and their faith in Christ was not real because they never made the 2-hour, 5-mile hike down to see Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, if you're really going to seek Jesus, you're going to bother those in dead religion. Oh, don't be such a fanatic. Guilty. You know, the word fanatic is just fan. You're always talking about Jesus. You're always bringing up Jesus. Don't do that. Let's just keep it down. No, friend, if you're truly going to seek after Christ with your whole heart, you're going to risk opposition of those in this rulers of this world, but you may risk those in apathy of dead religion. It's not just about knowing about Christ. It's not just about knowing His Word. It's about receiving Christ as your personal Savior. You may be here this morning and know all the right words. You could tell me the Christmas story better than I could. You could probably stand up here and go into Scripture and give all the right areas. But listen, friend, if you've never been to see Jesus, if you've never bowed your head and bowed your heart and fallen before Him and worshipped Him as King and received Him as Savior, friend, you're lost. It's time to take that little journey down to Bethlehem and see the King who will one day reign. Number one, responding to the revelation of God, wise men still seek Him, risk the opposition of men. But thirdly, and here's an application, they receive salvation through Christ. How do they do that? Well, they recognized who He was and recognized what He would do. I believe they received Him. Look at verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They began to travel, they followed Scripture, they saw the star, and now the star led them all the way to Bethlehem. And they came to Bethlehem, and they saw the baby. When they saw the baby, they discerned who He was, they discerned what He would do, and they devoted and dedicated themselves to Him. These men were wise, but He was wiser. Although He was a child, Colossians 2 verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They were powerful, but this child was more powerful. Colossians 2 verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They may have been old and respected, but Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, Daniel 7:13, and Daniel 7:22 says that He was the Ancient of Days. Here was one who stepped out of eternity into time. They traveled from afar, 600-700 miles, maybe there from Babylon, but He traveled much further. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 says, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared Me. And they brought gifts worthy of a king. think about what he did and where, how he did it, we see they first presented unto him gold. Gold, notice, was for sovereign dominion. Perhaps they had heard in the tabernacle in the temple that the holy place was overlaid with gold. They presented not just gold for his sovereign dominion, they also presented frankincense. That was for his sinless deity. Maybe they had read or understood the altar of incense in Exodus 30, how the priest there was anointed the place with frankincense there to picture that worship. They presented myrrh. That was burial spices for his sacrificial death. Bitter spices to embalm the dead. These gifts evidence the fact that they believed in him. He was a sovereign God. He was had sovereign dominion. He would have a sinless deity, and he would have a sacrificial death. And they came before him, and they worshiped him. If you were to go to Israel today, and one of my plans, I love to go to Israel. I'm kind of thinking 10 years of serving and then go to Israel here. If you go to Israel today, one of the places I want to see is, have you been to Israel yet? Oh, yes. Okay, I'm no envy here. But the Nativity, and that's not me, by the way. That picture kind of looks like me there. The Nativity, if you go to the Nativity, Holy Sepulchre there, not the Sepulchre, but the Nativity in Bethlehem, rather, they've reduced the size of the door. They call it the door of humility. It's so low that if you want to enter into the place that they say that Jesus was born, you need to bow to get into the building. And friend, that's the way you come to Christ. You must bow your head and your heart, rather. You must bow and believe in Jesus. That he's not just the Son of God. He's the God the Son. He was not just a good man. He's the God-man. He was not just a prophet, a priest, or a king. He's the perfect prophet, priest, and king. And you must bow your heart and come to Christ and believe that he is who he says he was. That he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. That he shed his precious blood. And he was resurrected the third day. Amen. And when you come to him in faith, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. You may be here this morning, if you've never bowed your heart to come to Christ, you've not yet received him. You say, well, I've been a church member here for many years. If you've never bowed your heart to trust Christ, you've never received him. Friend, you may be here today and say, I've done a lot of good works. If you've never bowed your heart to trust Christ as your Savior, you've never received him. Today is the day of salvation. You must come, recognize who he is, recognize who you are as a sinner, bow before him, and receive him as your personal Savior. Wise men still seek him. Well, finally, they relied upon the direction of the Spirit. Look at verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I know this is an application, but understand this. When someone sees Jesus, you're always going to go a different way. Hey, when you find Christ and you finally seek Jesus, it's not just adding to your faith. You're going to go a different direction. That's repentance, a change of mind that results in a change of direction. When anybody ever finds the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Ghost, things in your life begin to change. All things are made new. And now they had the direction of the Spirit in their life. They had the guiding and direction of their life, and they went another way. I want to ask you this morning, have you gone another way? God guided these wise men. They followed the direction. We think about the wise men, you think about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Eldon Martins writes in that book, and the stops too. Someone guided by the Lord and his will, when there's no star, but guided by the steps and guided by the stops. God said, don't go back to Jerusalem. Go another way. God also guided Joseph in this manner. He would go down to Egypt and fulfill yet another prophecy. I want to ask you this morning, are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Are you a wise boy or girl? How willing are you this Christmas season to stand up with certainty and wisdom and say, I don't care what's politically correct, I'm going to find Jesus. I don't care what's ecclesiastically accepted, I'm going to find Jesus. I don't care what people think about me, I'm going to worship Jesus everywhere I go. I'm going to wonder, where is he? I'm looking for Jesus. I'm finding him in his word. I'm worshiping the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. I wonder if there's someone with wisdom this morning that will say, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Application. Where is he in all the displays and decorations this year? Where is he in the greetings? Friends, it's not happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. Where is he in the traditions? You may have the elf on the shelf. I don't care. But do you have Jesus in your heart? Where is he in the celebration and the gift giving? Is it just about the gifts or is it about the gift that was given to you? Where is he in the singing? Oh, I love the singing about the figgy pudding. I don't know what figgy pudding is. Oh, all the Christmas songs are fun, but what about the old carols? What about the songs about Jesus? Where is he in the preaching? I don't want to hear stories. I want to hear about Jesus. Where is he in all the fellowship, on all the fun? I don't want to miss Jesus. And if you have any wisdom in this old world, you'll follow the light that God has revealed to you. You'll look everywhere. You'll walk outside and you'll see the stars and you'll see the sun and you'll see Jesus as creator of this world. You open the Word of God and search the Word and you'll see Jesus revealed on every page. I've said it before, it's like reading Rainbow. Open a book, take a look, he's in the book. Listen, he's in the book. Don't miss Jesus. And who has wisdom this Christmas season today to say, I'm going to present to him my life, my talent, my treasures, and my time, worthy of his sovereign dominion, worthy of his sinless deity, worthy of his sacrificial death. He's the beautiful star of Bethlehem. You think about that song that they sung. If you listen to the last chorus, it said it all. Here it is. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good, and the blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won. When Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. I want us to take a look at we're going through the first Christmas series. Take a look at what may have been an exit interview from a wise man.
God had been silent for 400 years.
We knew because we were listening, in a sense. My job is to listen. You wouldn't call a person that talks a lot a wise man, would you? No, you'd call them many, many, many things, but a wise man wouldn't be one of them. My position is to look for signs everywhere. A star, for example. I can look at a star and watch it and wait and see what the star is trying to tell us. I read one time of a star that would announce a new king. And then one day, there was a beacon in the night, a star like, unlike any other star I'd ever seen before. And so I followed it. Several of us, we followed this star. It was bizarre. The star would lead, it would move, and we would follow. Our journey took 2 years, and it led us to Judea. And then the star stopped. It just stopped, shining down over this small cottage. Our journey ended not at a palace for a king, but at a home for a peasant. This was it. I mean, we gathered our thoughts, we gathered our gifts, we did all that we could do to contain our emotion. And behind those doors was a new king. A king that could command the stars in the sky and yet chose to dwell among us. A king that spoke and the word became flesh. God was finished being silent. That night, we knelt. We bowed down before this baby boy. And each one of us laid gifts at his feet. We had to. We couldn't help it. 400 years of silence, broken by the cries of the Son of God.
Look again at Matthew chapter 2 as we close. Matthew chapter 2. They were wondering, where is he? And they worshiped. As we close, there's a story of the young queen of called Victoria, Queen Victoria of the Victorian reign of England. It was coronation day as a young lady, and she was scheduled to sit through a presentation of Handel's Messiah. What a beautiful presentation it is. And her servants let her know that during the Hallelujah chorus, everybody would be standing, but she, as queen, would be seated as the others stood. She sat there that day as the prophecies of Jesus were proclaimed in song, how Christ would be born, and they would call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When they came to the Hallelujah chorus, everyone stood, and to their amazement, young Queen Victoria, with trembling lips and shaking shoulders, stood straight in attention. Her servant said, "Now you need to be seated. You're the queen. You can be seated." And she said this, "How can I sit in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?" Friend, I don't know about you this Christmas season. How can we sit in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It's time to worship Him. It's time to bring everything to Him. It was years later when she was older and she was looking forward to His return. She called in one of her ministers and she said, "Tell me, open the Bible and tell me when Christ is coming back." And he said, "No man knows the day or the hour, and He could come at any time." And she says, "I sure hope He comes back in my lifetime, because I have the crown of England and the crown of India, and I want to present them at His feet." What are you waiting for? See, the story of Christmas is this. Christ came, but He is coming again. There's 150 prophecies about the first coming. Every one of them was fulfilled. There's over 300, twice that, for His second coming, and they're being fulfilled as we speak. Israel has been regathered as a nation. Since 1948, those bones are regathered. All of our world is moving towards a one world religion, a one world currency, a one world leader. But listen, friend, there is coming a king whose kingdom there shall be no end. Listen, friend, He is coming to rule and to reign. Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you worshiping? Are you seeking? Are you following the steps of Scripture? Are you looking around and seeing what God has revealed to us today? Because Christ is coming. The question is this: who's wise enough to be ready? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. The pianist is coming to play. I wonder this morning, as the pianist comes, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, Your Spirit would speak right now. I pray Your Spirit and move in the midst today. The Lord, may there be men and women of wisdom. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder how many today could say a uplifted hand, "Pastor Shakur, if I died right now, if Christ were to come, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know without any doubt that I'm saved. I've received Him. I've bowed my heart. I've come to Him and recognized who He was and who I am as a sinner. And I've received Him as my personal Savior. I've been saved." If you know that with absolute certainty, would you raise your hand as testimony to the Lord this morning? I've been saved. Thank you for raising your hand. May I put it down? Maybe you're here today and you could not raise that hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't point you out. I'd like an opportunity to pray with you and leave you with assurance that if you die today or Christ were to return, you'd be ready. I wonder if there's anybody here in the midst that would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know how I can be saved. I don't want to die and go to a place called hell. When He comes for me, I want to be ready. I want to receive Him as my Savior. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved." Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Would you raise your hand in this place? I'm not sure I'm saved. Slip it up. Slip it down. I'll see it and I'll pray for it. Anybody at all? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." I wonder how many believers today would say, "My decision this Christmas season, God spoke to me. I got to seek Jesus. I got to be in His Word." Maybe make in your heart a resolution next year to be in the Word every day, finding Jesus. And they say, "Preacher, I've been lost in the darkness for too long because I've not been seeking Him the way I ought to. And God spoke to me to be a wise person and seek after Christ." How many raise your hand this morning? God spoke to my heart about seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, this morning as the pianist begins to play, the altars are open. Whatever your spiritual need is, if God spoke to your heart, I wonder if you'd even start by today worshiping Jesus. The altar is not just a place of repentance, it's a place of worship. As we fall before Him and recognize who He is, I wonder this morning how many would come and simply seek Him and worship Him. Maybe there's been a lapse in your life of some area. Wise men still seek Him. Where is He? Where is He? Wise men still seek Him. heads bowed, eyes still closed. We have one that's coming this morning for prayer. And as the piano continues to play, the altars are open. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and we're going to pray according to the Word of God. James chapter 5 says, "If there are any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." We take the Bible literally, and the Bible says when someone calls and asks for help and for prayer and for healing, the Bible says we're to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. This morning, we're not claiming to be healers, but we're claiming to know the healer. And there is a God that answers according to His will and His way, and simply we, coming to Him in obedience, making a request known unto Him, friend, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This morning, I'm going to ask for all the deacons and church staff members and perhaps some of the wives, if you would come, and we're going to lay hands and pray over Miss Teresa Leffler. She's going through a time of difficulty and sickness and cancer. And as we come and we gather and pray over her, this lady has already started treatment. We know that there is a God who can treat her better than any physician on earth. I wonder if you would not just watch, but you would pray. I wonder as we pray, as we anoint with oil, we follow the words and the wisdom of God He laid out for us in Scripture. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we anoint and pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. Lord, we're thankful for the blood that You shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we're thankful that one day we're going to have glorified, renewed bodies in heaven. And Lord, as we know on earth, You have given to us the ministry. Lord, we know that there's the care of medical care and stewardship. And also we know that there's the power of prayer. And Lord, as we come before You in obedience to Your word, You've said to anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is Jesus, Savior, Master, Redeemer, God of heaven. Jehovah saves. And we ask in the name of Jesus, making our request known unto You, the desire in the heart of Teresa is that she would be healed and helped. And Lord, may she know the presence of Your Spirit during this time of treatment. And Lord, if it be Your will, oh God of heaven, I pray You reach down and heal her from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. And God, I pray You do so not to bring attention to ourselves, not to bring attention to our work, but to give glory and honor to You, to worship You and to magnify You. And Lord, You said the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And Father, if the prayer of faith changes in the heart of the one here, I pray You'd bring that desire. But God, the desire in our heart is for You to do what You've said You would do. And Lord, that is to do what is for our good and for Your glory. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all God's people saying amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to encourage you to come on back. You don't want to miss the message for Dr. Britt. And let's pack the place out tonight. And we'll just have to get the safety team busy there with chairs. So let's fill this whole place up and bring folks out. Many churches in town no longer have evening services. That's okay. They come to ours on Sunday night. So that's not okay. But, you know, we're glad that there are folks from other churches that may have known of Dr. Britt. And like, I know several have said, when is he coming? And so get the word out and invite folks out tonight for some good preaching finally. No, but get Dr. You're going to hear some good preaching tonight this evening and be encouraging in that. Let's close the song. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Also, the Christmas cards that we got at Thanksgiving that will be going out to the homeless. If you could, I believe this afternoon is the last time tonight we're taking them. Over in the lobby, our project is taking that Christmas card, writing a little note of prayer, putting a $5 McDonald's gift card, and Brother Joe Woodard, it goes out to Hollywood, California, and he goes finds those homeless, usually runaway teenagers, trying to make it big, but now kind of striking out, and they need some encouragement, they need the gospel, and that's a way to get out there and give the gospel to those that are there. So if you could fill that card out, put a gift card in there. And if you don't have time, some folks said, why didn't go down and buy a gift card? Just bring the card, put a $5 bill, and we'll get the cards for you. You do that? All right. Well, I'm just signed you up for something. And may get more cards that way. And we'll go buy the cards for you and put it in there. Let's close the song.
Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is.